This podcast is sponsored by Great White Hot Sauce. It's a small batch, handmade hot sauce made specially for you. So if you like hot sauce, you'll love Great White Hot Sauce. It's the hot sauce that bites back. Find it at www.trygreatwhite.com. Well, here we are, episode 76, or something like that. On this episode, Jack's back. Also, Mark Smith and Lou Colicchio from the Music Relish podcast. You guys are getting used to them. We're going to talk about one-hit wonders, but I think there's going to be some obscure one-hit wonders with this group. Yeah, should be interesting. So kick back, take a listen, and enjoy the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
The KOFB studio presents Milk Crates and Turntables, a music discussion podcast hosted by Scott McLean. Now, let's talk music. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Amanda, for that wonderful introduction as usual. Welcome to the podcast. You know the name of it? Well, if you don't, it's Milk Crates and Turntables. It's a music discussion podcast with... We're streaming live right now over YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. Facebook is fucked up. Facebook is fucked. Not only am I banned from live streaming for, I don't know, 50 more days, but now they have this whole setup now. If you can't just stream right to your page anymore, you have to set it up as an event, and you have to... let them know it's all thing. If they just, it's not as, it's always something with them. It's always something, but it has nothing to do with me being banned from live streaming for 50 more days. That has nothing to do with it at all. Copyright infringements, a couple of times here and there. What do they know? So anyways, we have a good show. This podcast episode. It's once again, I think we did this, Jack and I did this about 35 episodes ago, so we can recycle it through. It's one-hit wonders, but I think, again, now we have a, we had a twist. We have a twist, and they're not even in the green room. I'm going to tell you right now that they're live right now. Mark Smith and Luke Colicchio from the Music Relish podcast. What's up, guys?
How you doing, Scott?
Hey, Scott.
The kings of obscurity, and without further ado... Let's bring back the one, the only, the irreplaceable Jack Calabrese.
Scott, you've been...
There we go. Hold on, we're not done yet. We're not done. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah. I have to tell you, I'm thrilled to be back. You've already made my day, and you've entertained me tremendously already.
It's because I love you.
I love you too, Scott.
I know you do. I know you
do. I love you too, Scott. But I was listening to the intro, and what do you say? You're on, what is it, W what?
I don't know.
What's the website that you mentioned on there?
Oh, yeah, www.trygreatwhite.com.
You do know that there's an L in W, right? WWW. I was in the green room. Fucking, I was dying.
We heard you. You were live.
We heard you.
If you listen to this, which you never do, you'll hear.
The laughing was a new effect on the intro or something.
WWW.
Is it February yet?
That was so awesome.
Jack, Mark,
yes sir,
Jack, Lou,
hey, this is a great bunch.
Very, very glad to be with you guys. I admire the work that you do, and thank you for hanging out with Scott. And you guys have definitely made the show better. I'm just going to hang here and listen.
No, you
get the fuck out of here. Get out of here.
Well, you know, at some point we should address. I don't even know why I'm on this. You know, considering that I was terminated, fired, let go, cut loose, laid off by Scott.
Laid off.
You had a redundancy meeting, it was lost in translation.
Yeah. Yeah, Scott cut me loose to help me find success elsewhere. And I love the way that he did. You know, the only reason why I'm back is because I wanted severance in the form of hot sauce or anything.
You're never gonna get. So enough about Jack. We're 4 minutes into it. He's already dogging me. That didn't take long.
Come on. I love it. I mean, I don't know if he shared this with you guys, but I was like, hey, I got a stretch where I'm going to be around. I'm excited to come back. And what did he say? I think I'll let you take a break. I spent 40 years of my career training salespeople, and he tried to pull that bullshit on me. It was like Costanza. It's not you, it's me. You're giving me. It's not you, it's me. I invented. It's not you, it's not me.
Oh shit!
Ah, it was so funny, man. So funny. Now I'm glad to be here. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's been fun filling in, Jack. It's been a blast.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an awkward silence. Okay.
I, you know what? Maybe they didn't hear me. Some of the audio is coming through kind of digitalized, mumbly, jumbly. I don't know if that's on your end of mine, but I'm hearing beep, burp, burp,
beep. Uh-oh.
Hope it's not me again.
It's just happening like every now and again.
All right. I'm going to step off a minute. Hold on.
I need to work on something.
He left us on stage.
Is he really gone?
I hear his voice.
I think, boys, we could finally turn the show into something.
Ready? Let me get my guitar. I got a bunch of stuff in here I got to tell you.
I had to scratch my ass.
Look at the logo. I didn't notice the logo. Nice brand.
Yeah, you're the king of Facebook that they kicked me off. Look at Jack. You already got a welcome back, Jack. Look at that. I'm a YouTube viewer. Look at that.
Hey, look.
You know what's not welcome back? That fucking guitar is not welcome.
Look at my horde of fan.
Oh, look at that fucking get Mark breaking out his guitar. This is
mine's beautiful. In the living room.
We're gonna play all our one hit wonders.
There you go.
All right, boys. 99 Luff Blues on 3-1 and a 2 and a
English or German.
Lou and I were doing a show, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or so. And we were going to do what Jack and I have done in the past, not on the show. We were going to go down the alphabet of concerts that we've seen. And I'm going to see Yes Friday night. So whatever haze in the 80s, I might have seen them. I'm filling it in 2022. Going to see them in Fort Lauderdale. And that show that Lou and I did was an interesting one because all of a sudden Lou's shit went haywire.
Again.
And that was it. I was like, fuck it, we're done. I'm not. Bye. I'm not done.
Scott, I think it's awesome that you're going to go see Yes. Do you, like, who's in the band now? Do you know?
Is
John Anderson?
You had Steve Howe, Joffrey Downs, Bill Sherwood, John Davison, and Alan White.
No, Alan White died.
He died.
Alan White died.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
They had it on their website. I went and checked.
Wait a minute.
He was He was the only original guy left because Steve Howe wasn't their first guitarist, so. Yeah, but Billy Sherwood's a really good musician. You're gonna
because I looked up, I went online, and I was like, I want to see who the lineup is, and they still have his name on the fucking website. Man.
Yeah, you said John Davidson. Is that the guy from Entertainment Tonight? Is he?
Yeah. Game show host, the famous John Davidson. Yeah, he's crossed over.
He's Love crossed Boat. Over.
Yeah, Love Boat also. Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing how many iterations of that band have. I think at one time there were like two or three versions of it, you know, touring at the same time.
Well, just a couple of years ago, it was Trevor Rabin, the guy that did Owner of a Lonely Heart, Rick Wakeman, and Trevor Rabin's rhythm section. They toured. I liked it because it was Rick Wakeman. But this Scott, the lineup you're seeing, they're not bad. They're pretty good. Yeah, and that's one that Chris Squire blessed when he was dying. He said,
man,
please continue. And he wanted Billy Sherwood to fill his shoes.
Yeah. I am not a huge Yes fan. I mean, I like them. I listen to them. But I was never like a really. I have a friend of mine from South Philly, of all places. He's a fucking. That's like the band for him. He just.
Well, yeah, you were never really a prog rock guy. I mean, I remember how many times have you lambasted Jethro Tull?
you want me to start up again?
which by the way,
like a week ago.
I have to tell you just in happenstance, Deb and I were goofing off on YouTube and I put on Locomotive Breath.
I like that song.
A live version. Those guys were amazing. What a kick-ass band. Underrated. And Scott, you should like them more than you do. And they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And probably before fucking Green Day. I'll say that. Right? Hey, is Billy Idol in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I don't think so.
Right? So,
no.
The fuck? Right? The Cure goes in, but Billy Idol doesn't go in? I don't know. Billy had a career. You know what I mean?
Partial to the Cure's output, though.
The Cure.
They will get in. They'll get in.
Yeah.
Well, fucking Carly Simon got in.
Oh, God. He's still on that.
Your Savannah is one of the top 500 rock and roll songs in Rolling Stone magazine.
And that doesn't deserve to get her into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, though. But
no.
Jack, you know I hang on
to
things.
Not even anticipation.
You know I hang on to things. I do.
But yeah, you think Carly Simon doesn't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but Billy Idol does?
I don't think Carly Simon belongs before fucking Bad Company or Jethro Tull.
Or America.
Or America, I don't think she belongs in there before them. Do you? And she put out like, I don't know, 15 albums and five of them were fucking greatest hits albums.
We get into this debate all the time. Yeah. I don't consider Carly Simon a, you know, rock and roll person. And I do agree with you that I think that she's coasted on her early career for quite a long time.
Good point.
There's a lot of bands that have done that.
Good point. Yeah. Sure. Yep. Listen, I don't dislike her. Like I've said.
Rock and roll, though. Very, very middle of the road for most of her career, I think.
But you know what I like about her the most.
You like her hair.
Oh, God.
No. Greatest mouth in music history.
They're great feet.
Great mouth. She has a great mouth. I love her mouth. Sheryl Crow.
You know what? I love it. I love it when you go down this road and you've gone down it a bunch of times. You turn ultra creepy. I mean, even. I like your mouth. You know,
dude.
All of a sudden, Scott turns into Jeffrey Dahmer.
I want to eat her mouth.
Or the guy from Deliverance. Oh,
that's a great song title.
You sure got a pretty mouth.
You're so mouth. Listen, now when you watch her on a video, you're gonna look at her mouth and you're gonna know I was right. You're gonna say, wow, she does have a nice mouth. All right, moving on. Let's get into this one hit wonder. Let's move right along. And then after that, I have some very interesting trivia for you guys. This is tough. These are tough, and I kind of sent you the text today. Has to do with instruments. I found these very interesting questions. So look forward to seeing who knows what in that realm. Since you motherfuckers are three talented musicians, and I'm just a guy behind a microphone. I'm just a talented podcaster. You guys are talented musicians that do podcasts. See, this is
a wait a minute. Talented podcaster?
I am. I am.
Self-proclaimed.
I think I am a natural. After doing this for a year with you, I'm pretty good.
I'm sure you're talented at a lot of things. By the way, speaking of which, that pinball machine behind you.
What about it?
How good are you at it?
I have the third highest, score.
The only one that plays it.
But. No, I have the third highest score. I have the third highest score. I think
who's,
it's like
who's
56
number
million.
One.
So Amanda, our intro girl, she was one for a while. Then some of my friends came into town that I was stationed with in the Philippines back in the late 80s. We have this reunion every year, and one of them got on the pinball machine, and he played that thing constantly until he got like 68,000, and then 68 million. I mean, he got 64, then 68 million. And the next day he goes to my wife, you know, Dr. Vera, and he says, my hands are sore. I don't know. I woke up and my hands were all stiff.
Thumbs.
And she said, did you play the pinball machine yesterday? He's like, oh yeah. So he has the high scores. I just hit, I don't know. I think I hit 30 million the other day. Yeah. It's, you know,
you don't have to put money in it.
No, it's,
I assume you don't put money in it, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Do you play it often?
I probably play it a couple times a week, and I might play one game. I might play eight games. Just depends. It's always there. That's the thing. It's like a swimming pool.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
And it's great music. It has a great soundtrack to it.
It actually plays Zeppelin?
What's that?
Does it actually play Zeppelin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The playlist is pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. Communication Breakdown, Black Dog, Immigrant Song. What else? It plays like 10 songs. Yeah. Nice. Loud, too, if I want it to be. The speakers are pretty good in that thing. Nice. But, all right. So let's move on. Let's get into some one-hit wonders that have come and gone. Some people might find these obscure. Some might not. So let's start off. Jack, give me a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. I think one of the greatest one-hit wonders of all time, and certainly 60s, came from Procol Harum. White a Shade of Pale.
Yeah, that's a great one, man. And again, now
I mean, name anything else that they've done, you know, beside that.
No, you're right.
Conquistador.
Great.
Is that a hit?
great song. Especially the, I think, was that song not live? Because the live version of it is killer.
With the orchestra, right?
With the orchestra. Yeah.
With the orchestra.
I don't know.
I'm not sure if that was the live version I always heard. That
it may
is there a, is there a be, studio I mean, a live not, version?
I don't know if there's a the studio he's doing. There probably is. I mean, I'm not a big enough Procol Harum fan, but that one song, you know, they definitely captured lightning in a bottle. I mean, that song still kind of today, and it's one of those tunes that when I'm driving, when it comes on, regardless in the song, I'll listen to it.
White a Shade of Pale?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Sammy Hagar covered that in one of those in the super group he was in. Was that what
with Neil Sean,
right?
Yeah.
They covered that.
Really good version.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah.
See? That's Lou. And Mark.
What, I'll tell you one of my favorite versions of it, and I know you guys are probably not fans. I don't think Scott is, but Dave Matthews did a version of it, him on an acoustic. And it's
I like
fantastic.
Dave Matthews. No, do I you? Do. I do like Dave Matthews. I've never disliked him. Yeah,
Dave's great. Yeah,
I can take him. Like I liked him for a while, for years, and then just kind of he's one of those guys that falls off my map. But I never had anything bad to say about Dave Matthews.
No, Dave I Matthews like was great, and because of Winn-Dixie, he played Otis with the Pickles, and he was perfect for that part.
I saw him two nights in a row here in New Hampshire, and the second night the band broke into Led Zeppelin's Fool in the Rain, and those guys friggin' nailed it. What a great version. If you're kicking around, look it up, and it doesn't matter what city, But he really, those guys are just, they're tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's move over to Lou. Lou, give us a one hit wonder.
Terry Jacks, Seasons in the Sun.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. That's a classic.
A horrible song.
That's a classic.
That's a classic.
Yeah. I'm eating a banana, by the way.
From the depressing year 19. That was a year for depressing, sad songs. 74. That's a good Banana Jack verse.
So I cast you eating a fucking banana while we're broadcasting.
I'm that talented. I can do that.
Dude, I don't think our audience
a sandwich one
finds
time.
That appealing at all.
Okay.
Yeah, and the people listening are just hearing the mouth noises.
It's a good banana. It's a
I'm telling you,
banana.
They don't find it appealing at all. Boo.
So Terry Jack, Season in the Sun, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
One hit wonder.
That's a 70s classic.
AM classic.
AM classic.
When I was a kid, I had that 45. I loved that song when I was a kid, but I was, I don't know, 6 or 7.
Oh, it was so tuneful. Oh, yeah. The reason was a hit. A catchy song, but, when you lay the lyrics out, you're like, okay.
It's fucking depressing as fuck.
Depressing as fuck, absolutely.
even the down.
Yeah. Bye, bye, like, pop,
it's impending fucking doom with that song. Yeah. Every time he goes down, here we go. More fucking depression on its way. More Hard fucking music is going to make me want to drive my car off a bridge.
Fucker. We had joy on. We stuck a banana up my bum.
Hey, that's not funny. All right,
I can't believe you. Dude, you're stealing my bit. I ate it with John. Now you're eating banana while we're broadcasting.
Nope. Hey, back.
Hey, Lou, we can eat paper towels.
Although I have to say, the fucking sandwich was the greatest scene in fucking podcast history. The sandwich, when you left.
Trivia question. What kind of sandwich was it?
It was a tuna, wasn't it?
I think it was tuna.
It was a tuna sandwich, yeah.
He was babbling about some asshole's birthday in 1962, so I went and made a sandwich.
Don't laugh with a banana in your mouth. It gets messy.
I'll choke. So, Mark.
What do you wash it? What are we washing it down with? What is that? A U?
Water.
U.
But this water's been sitting on this desk for 4 days now. So, yeah.
Oh, it's got plastic in it. Nice.
Yeah, it's probably got plastic in it by now. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. I'm good. Mark, give me a one hit wonder.
Okay. Yeah. Cause we do one hit wonders on our show and Lou never gets stumped. Except he knows them all. And we always talk about how someone hit wonders. You never heard from the band again, but then you get these bands that you know all about, but they only had one hit. So I'm going to go with 10cc. I'm Not in Love.
But didn't they have isn't that a one-hit wonder is pretty much they don't ever have another hit. Didn't they have a hit with The Things You Do With Love? Like Walking in the Rain and the Snow.
Yes.
Nowhere to go. Me. Yeah.
I just remember I'm Not in Love. Oh, all right. Mark is 0 for 5 again.
Now, give us another one. See,
Well, hold on. Hold on. In all fairness,
he's competitive.
What constitutes a one-hit wonder?
Sent you the answer. A top 40 hit.
One top 40.
Okay.
And then not a top 100, but top 40.
Yeah, like Golden Earring doesn't count because they had two top 40 hits. You can't say Radar Out Love because they had, Bullet to the Bone fucking in the 80s. So it has to be someone that just had a top 40 hit and then they were gone. That's the definition of a one hit wonder. Like the group OMD.
How bizarre.
What? What?
That second hit by Golden ought to have been a hit. Twilight Zone, that song blows.
No, it doesn't. Hey, I asked Lou this question.
The guy sings his vocals like he's eating a bit.
Hey! Hey! I want to see if Mark knows who this is. Lou didn't know who this was last night. Jack, don't say anything if you know, all right? Here we go. I'm going to play. This is going off track a little bit, but And of course, it fucking comes up like this. All right, here we go.
Got banana in the phone.
Who's this, Mark? Who is it?
No. Vixen? No. Stumped.
Jack?
I don't know that song.
Number one, that is a fucking jam. That is a driving song. That should have been on my list. Lone Justice.
Oh. I saw them open for you, too. Mine.
I thought it sounded like Susanna Hoffs. I thought it was the Bengals.
Maria McKee. Maria McKee. Yeah. And they also sang.
The only song that I remember of theirs is Ways to Be Wicked.
Yep. Mm. This was like their, let's see.
We've talked about those guys before. It seemed like for a couple of years, they were always the opening act for U2.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the problem with them was.
Yeah. Interesting. Thank you for bringing that up.
Right? This was an MTV. Oh, you mentioned it, Jack. You're just bringing it up. Fucking asshole. Yeah, asshole. The other song is called Ways to Be Wicked. Jack figures out how to ways to be an asshole.
Oh, come on.
I like that. Was good. Give me some. Hey. All right, Mark. So give us another one because you blew that one. You fucking blew it.
This kills me to say because this is like one of my top favorite bands, and Lou knows who I'm going to say, but they only had one hit. Zebra, Tell Me What You Want.
All right.
And they still play this day, and I have all five of their albums. But
oh, my God.
That was a hit.
That's cool.
Jack?
Good song.
Holy you mumbled, fuck. Oh, my God. Jack, what was your driving song last week? Yeah. Well, that was a good song. That was the one.
You like that? Yeah, it's a good song.
No, remember I said it was a good pluck. You pulled out that song. You sent me five songs from your driving list, and I read them.
Take this job and shove it.
No.
As I said before?
No, it was Breaking Us in Two, Don't Go Breaking My Heart, Dumped. Breaking up his heart. No, that's what you said when you thought I fired you.
No, I didn't think you fired me. You fired me.
I didn't fire you.
Giant bald-headed fuck.
How can I fucking do that? I don't know. You had a good song.
It was song.
Yeah.
When you said Zebra, I thought you were going to say, didn't they have a song called Who's Behind the Door?
Yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't a top 40 hit.
Yeah, I remember the video, and believe it or not, you're gonna cringe when I tell you this. I saw Zebra play live. They opened for, ready for this one? They opened for Loverboy.
Yeah, wow, that was one of the biggest tours. They were up and coming. Yeah, I have a video of that tour. Yeah,
of Zebra or Loverboy?
Just Zebra. They sold it. They sold it at their gigs for $10.
Oh my God.
All right. I'm coming up with something.
There's no live version of Hot Girls in Love, huh?
Sorry. No.
Hot Girls in
Love. I have an acoustic version I could, send you a little bit.
That's the best MTV video ever.
It's the cafe version.
All right. I'm jumping all the way back to 1963.
Like
62. Let's go to 62. This one. The Tornadoes, Telstar.
Nice.
It was the first number one hit in America that was strictly instrumental. Yeah. Telstar. The Tornadoes. That's a little obscure.
Mm-hmm. There was something about that. I read something about that keyboard they used. One of those early songs like that or Sleepwalk had like an early synthesizer on it. Might have been Telstar. It's some kind of not normal for the time keyboard, though. But that's a great song.
Right. Right. Na, na, na. All right. Back to you, Jack.
Nice.
So, if we're holding true to your criteria,
Oh, this
I don't regard this
with the over analysis of everything. Go on. I'm sorry.
If you hold true, because you know that there are so many people that you could fit into this category of being a long and outstanding careers. Right. Todd Rundgren only had one top 40 hit, which was me. Peaked at number five. The other ones were even really close. Although, in all fairness, I think I was looking at top 20, not top 40.
Bang on Your Drum was pretty big, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe I think that was like number 60, 63 or something like that. Checking right now. But I just want to review it.
No. I'm go on, Mark.
I remember. See, what I go by is growing up in New York. All right, so Bang on Your Drum All Day was on WPLJ and WNEW every day. But that doesn't mean it hit number five or number four. It just means it was big on album radio, rock that radio. Market. So sometimes I'm kind of fooled by that.
So
yeah,
the common definition of a one-hit wonder is they come and they go. They're gone.
So the Tony whole Basil, doesn't matter. So that criteria.
Well, but the song gets into the top 40. That's what makes it popular. Bullshit. Thank you very much. That's what makes it popular. It gets into the top 40. One hit being the operative word here. Wonder.
All right, so let me ask you, Scott.
So,
these motherfuckers.
Here Gary Numan, Cars. He only had one hit on the radio.
Fuck.
Right? But he's still playing live.
Yeah, but Gary Newman's got stuff. He's still touring today, but he's still considered a one hit. When he's on VH1, he's on that list, but he's still around and relevant to the people that follow that type of music.
Exactly.
Take that, Banana Boy.
Whose fucking show is this? Who's? What is this? Lou is on my side. It's you two against me and Lou. And Lou has that Jack doesn't have and Mark doesn't have, he's got that fucking notebook. That notebook right there is loaded. It is loaded with
there's more fucking than just music in here, too.
He's got a laundry list, his grocery notebook. List.
It's crazy.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right.
There he is, Scott McLean, no hit wonder.
it's the song that people will remember. I saw that listed as a criteria. You know, they might have had like a minor hit, but no one fucking knows it, you know. You know, but it's like, you know, I'll go through a band up here. Looking Glass. The only band that did Brandy.
Great song.
Yeah, they had another hit, but no one knows what it was. It was like a really minor, but it was considered a hit. But that's
it was a come and go song. But that's a great song. Brandy is a great song. Yep. So do you like if you had a choice to listen to a song over and over, we have to throw one of them away. Is it Brandy or Dancing in the Moonlight? Which one do you throw out?
By King Harvest?
Yes. That's a tough fucking call, man.
Mine's King Harvest.
Brandy, I think is a better song, but Dancing in the Moonlight.
Right?
So Dancing in the Moonlight is one of my favorite songs just because it's a great song. It's just so up and positive and kind of fun. Yeah.
And that light keyboard at the beginning, that gets you going right away. You hear it and you're like, that's it. And it's just a happy song. Brandy, you know, she gets fucking used and abused by a sailor. Gives her a fucking gold chain.
Works at a bar, the poor, you know, she's hustling for a living, you know. And
I'll come back. Yeah, I'll be back. Sure, baby. I'll be back. Okay. All right, Lou, what was your song? You said Brand.
No, that was an example. Brandy. But that was just an example.
Okay.
Mine is, what's her name? Susie Quattro, Stumbling In.
Oh, yeah.
That's Susie the one Quattro.
she took a left turn with that song.
Who did
Leather
she sing?
Leather Tuscadero.
Who did she sing that with? It was some Australian guy, right? Talk about one. It's
a guy named Norman's. It was Norman something. I don't know. I don't know. It was like maybe it was just Susie Quattro and Norman or Storm and Norman.
It was Norman something. I know
it was Norman something. Yeah,
yeah.
It was Norman Greenbaum from Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah,
that was it
from Massachusetts. All right, Mark, give us a one-hit wonder.
Okay, so I'm so much younger than you guys. I'm mostly looking at 80s and 90s one-hit wonders.
So much younger. What the fuck? So
I'm going to say a band I saw open for Aerosmith in the 90s. Four Non-Blondes, what's up? Never heard from them again.
I fucking can't stand that song anymore. Oh, I hate my.
Well, you didn't say we had to like the song. I'm just bringing up one-hit wonders.
You know why I so liked grating. The song? I liked it at first, but she sounds just like the lead singer of Concrete Blonde.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Sounds just like her. Napolitano. I forget her first name. Something Napolitano.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, because I think the woman's name is Linda Perry, isn't it?
From, yes. Four Non-Blondes.
She went on hit after hit after hit after hit for our, you know, like the Backstreet Boys and Pink. And I mean, that woman has had a tremendous, tremendous career.
Oh, wow.
That's where the money
just
not is.
With that band. Yeah. She's done very well. You know, I mean, I bet you're it bothers that I bet you she doesn't give a shit, quite frankly. But if she's labeled as a one hit wonder, there's a one hit wonder that has probably written more hits than most really, really popular acts out there.
Yeah. A few people have done that. They've had their own big hit, but wrote other things for other people.
Like yeah. I think.
Michael Bolton. I don't regard him as a one hit wonder, but he's written a lot of hits for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember his hair band video?
Oh, yeah.
What?
He did a hair band video. Someone's called Fool's Game. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That was before he became the Soul Man. He was a hard hitting rocker.
The mullet.
He meant it.
He had a little bit of old from the Doobie Brothers in his voice when he used to modulate.
By the way, Lou does a great Michael McDonald.
He's the greatest backup vocal.
I'm going to leave the show right now if I don't hear this. Come on, Lou.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother. Oh. Yeah, you.
The non-musician saying it's a non-musician.
No.
That wasn't bad.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother.
Maybe it's not hard to do. Maybe reverb.
She came from somewhere back in her long ago.
I think you did a great job with that.
Well, thank you.
Michael McDonald, that's not an easy voice to replicate. No. Although again, if you're on YouTube, listen to the live version of Pearl Jam doing "Taking It to the Streets." He only does a little of it.
No way, really.
But he does an awesome version of that tune.
Wow. I just saw a video of him the other day, Michael McDonald on Soul Train. Yeah, Don Cornelius gave him a pretty good intro too.
Solo?
Was that when he was doing like Yamo B there with like Peebo Bryson?
No. He actually did. He did the song that Lou was just singing.
Yeah. I'm not doing it yet.
All right, Mark, did you give? I lost track of this.
Yeah, I did the Four Non-Blondes.
Four Non-Blondes. That's right.
I could sneak another one in there, but that'd be unfair. I wouldn't want to do that. Even though we're all musicians, but
I'm gonna go back to 1963. Kiyo Sakamoto with Sukiyaki.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild for the time.
So that actually, that has a kind of a reverb to it because, was it Taste of Honey? Is that the name of the two sisters? They did.
Boogie, Yogi, Yogi.
Yeah. That they actually, they took that song, the tune, and they translated it to America the best you could, and they actually used to do it at talent shows when they were little girls, young girls. Then they ended up doing it it became a big hit, right? And then the great the one of the greatest rap songs ever written, Lottie Dottie, with as Mark was listening to it earlier, Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick, they sample that. Like Slick Rick starts singing, "It's all because of you, and make a way so blue." He sang that in that song, and Taste of Honey went after him and said, "Can't do that." So they had to pull it, or they had to pay them. So, a little background history on Sukiyaki. Yeah, it's better than fucking. You should really see Jethro Tull. Jethro Tull is so good live. You should really see them, Scott.
Come on.
You should really see them.
Seen them six times.
See, the podcast listeners can't see your face, Jack. They can't see the face that you're making. They can't.
You know what my face is saying? You're an idiot.
Well, shut the fuck up. You're an idiot.
You are.
Give it a little background on the song. Give a little background on the song, buddy. You
banana eating
goofball. I've already picked better one hit wonders than you, so you know, just it's your turn again for another dub.
All right, so this one I think truly is a one hit wonder and certainly one of the most influential songs of all time, which is Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang.
Mm. Yep.
Those guys were never able to kind of recapture that again, and there's actually a documentary about those guys. It's tremendously sad what happened to them, but they had that one big hit and that was it, man.
Yeah. Is that the train?
It's the 8:30 train to NYC.
I think that's Jack's train.
That was mine.
Mark has a train too, Jack.
Yeah, I don't think train here. I can't hear it.
Yeah, it's gone. Mark has a train too. See?
If you hear a bang, you know that somebody drank too much and they got on the tracks. It's happened a few times.
You know, and the story behind Rapper's Delight is an interesting one also. It's how the guy that wrote the lyrics just gave it to them. Like they said, we need a rap song. And he just gave it to them. And little did he know, he gave away a lot of money.
Does it count as a one hit wonder considering that they, you know, sampled kind of illegally from Nile Rodgers and Chic?
That's what
I was just saying
about.
When you made the face, I was talking about how Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick took the sample from Taste of Honey, who took the song from Kiyo Sakamoto. Like I always say that.
Kiyo Sakamoto.
Now, Scott, do you remember the label they were on?
Who? Taste of Honey?
No. Jack brought up. I'm trying to remember. Sugar Hill Records.
Sugar Hill Records.
Yeah.
Right. The guy that owned it, it wasn't a band. There's a guy. He lived in Englewood, New Jersey. Yeah. Because when I worked at CPI in Hillsdale with Tom Spallone, it was like early 90s. He wanted to capitalize on, because all the rap was huge. He came up with his wife and they brought those original masters. And but the thing is, Sugar Hill Gang were not getting any money from that. He was selling the cassettes and it was all going to him. He's notorious in the business. I cannot remember his name. I just, for the life of me, kind of a felony meeting him.
He screwed those guys. And that couple eventually like passed in the business, passed to their son. And there's been an appeal from the band to the son. You got to work with us in some way, shape or form. You guys have gotten rich off of us. And the son was just like
a couple times over.
Yeah.
A couple times over. Kids ruin everything anyways. Fucking kids.
Such a dirty business sometimes, too.
All right, Lou, give us one hit wonder.
This is for you guys, my friends. It's the Standells, Dirty Water.
Hey.
The one hit wonder.
Yeah.
Your neck of the woods.
That's a classic.
It is a classic. A well-played classic. Hearing that's forever.
Every town party in Winthrop, that song was played, and everybody sang it loudly and drunkenly.
I like the drum break, so it's just real crude. That's garage rock, though. Right? Garage rock.
That just triggered something in my head. I heard a song come on the radio the other day that I cannot listen to anymore. I can't listen to it on the radio anymore. Sweet Caroline.
Great All Love.
They ruined it. No, Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
You're a Boston fan.
I can't listen to it anymore. Because you know what? At the end of some, what was it? At the end of a baseball game recently, some other city started singing it.
Oh.
And in a football game, they started singing it. Like I can't listen to it anymore.
Everywhere now.
Everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Fucking thieves.
It's my younger sister's name, so I'm kind of partial to it.
Oh, yeah. You can listen. Yeah, against your sister.
It's just a sentimental thing.
Okay.
So your younger sister's name is Sweet.
Jesus.
Here we go. Here we go. Now we're talking about sisters now, right? All right. Massachusetts guy. All
now
right.
Three of you are fighting. You have all right. Here's the story of a man named Brady.
Let's how's this go? Let's stay can't sophisticated
it's
here.
It's our first time on the show together. You're so insulting my sister.
I wasn't. Wasn't insulting her. I said, is her first name Sweet?
Oh, yeah, that's yeah, all. Yeah. Okay, right. Sweet.
That's not insulting her.
Jack.
Nice backpedal. That was great. Okay.
Holy shit.
Dude, I never got Lou this mad before.
Wow. Jack was ornery on the text messages today. I should have fucking known this was coming. He was all fucking ornery.
All I said is her first name Sweet. That's all. Yeah. I was making a joke.
He asked me about one-hit wonders like an hour before the show, and I gave him something. He goes, horse shit. Like, who says horse shit?
My mom wore combat boots.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Your description was bullshit.
No, you said horse shit. That's horse shit. Fucking horse New shit. Hampshire, boy.
Yeah. Frigate.
All right, Mark, give us a one-hit wonder.
Okay, I'm going to go with another 90s band, and it was their only hit, and they got sued so bad, I think it broke them up in a way. The Verve.
Oh, I know the answer symphony. To this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got Mark, you're into the legalities.
Rolling Stones, Andrew, what is it, Lou? Yeah. Andrew Oldham?
Andrew
Oldham, who was the Stones' original manager. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even a ripoff of the original version of the
symphony.
Orchestral version, right?
It was the orchestral version of the last time. Do you know that there was, at one point, just a handful of years ago, the Stones gave them their money.
Wow.
There's like a conclusion the Stones backpedaled and
Well, they didn't. They got back together because they did an album called Fourth, which is a fucking great album. Listen to it, the Verve. That was
the Urban Hymns
album.
The Urban Hymns album, which has Bittersweet. That album is fantastic from start to finish.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean, I think Mark is right. I mean, it still kind of qualifies as a one-hit wonder, but there's an album where, you know, people probably didn't get past that first single. There's some really great stuff on.
Yeah, it took me years. I heard that single and I didn't know anything else years later. My son-in-law loves them. And he said, no, listen to the whole album. That's good.
I remember watching MTV back in the day. The first time I had ever heard it, it was like 2:30 in the morning. And I listened to it for maybe 90 seconds, and I was like, this song is going to be massive.
Yeah.
You know, it just was.
And go Richard ahead. Ashcroft go. Is a fucking rock star. He looks like a rock star. He walks like a rock star. You know what I mean? Just has that English arrogance. It's kind of like a Liam Gallagher. You know,
Scott, about 5 years ago, my son-in-law is from England. He grew up in England, living in New York. Richard Ashcroft and Liam did a show in Central Park. Free.
Oh, wow. Wow.
He went. He tried to get me to go, right? So he went. Place was packed. He said even Liam, because maybe the kind of like trying to show up Richard, he wasn't just standing with his hands behind his back. He was actually moving around the stage, you know.
Yeah.
He said, but it started pouring, and it was raining so hard. The rain was like above the ankles. Everybody left except for the English people. They all stayed. They were watching it. Every American there was like, I'm out of here. So it was a great show, though.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go with, let's see, from 1979, New York, London, Paris, Munich. Everybody's talking about pop music. Talk about by M. Right? Yeah.
Great song.
Yeah. One hit wonder.
Great song. Do you remember? But you two used that as their opening track on the not the Zoo TV tour, the one after the Pop Mar tour.
Pop tour, yeah. Discotheque, yeah.
Really?
They did. That was their opening like before the band came on, right?
For a lot of people, that was kind of their introduction to new wave music.
That was early, yeah.
Well, it was Mark early. And I had talked about that. So I think Lou and I had talked about it. It was, you know, that came out. You had Lena Lovitch, the incredible Leaping Lizards,
Flying Lizards,
Flying Lizards. Yeah. Who else? Elvis Costello was around 78, 79. There was a big chunk of really good music right in that little, that just opened the floodgates to new wave. And I think Jack and I talked about that in like episode 11.
Do you remember the rumor of who might have been the real singer of pop music?
That's I remember there was a rumor. What? Who was
John,
it?
John Lennon. They thought it might have been John Lennon.
Ah, that's right.
If you listen to it, it sounded like it could
that's
be.
That's right.
It sounded like it could be. But I was like,
yep. M.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jackie boy, let's go one more round.
I'm gonna go back a little ways. I got a couple of them that I could pick from, but I just love the keyboard sound of this song, which is question mark on the Mysterians. 96 Tears.
That's a great song. That's a great fucking song.
It's a great tune.
Never heard from him again.
You know, don't you find it amazing that you know have somebody or anybody that has wonders that they can really, you know, make lightning just never be able to do it again. And even some of them that recreated, as you know, when I was looking at One Hit Wonders, I was looking at it, Carl Kung Fu Fighting, who had a massive hit.
It's a niche song, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a gimmick
song. But you know what? Did you know that he tried releasing a couple of singles after that went nowhere? So he went back to the original success and released Dance the Kung Fu.
Good one. Yeah. Good one.
You know the chart position of that?
Yeah.
It did not crack the top 40.
No. Not on the top 40.
it's novelty. That was novelty.
Yeah. Jack, just name off a couple more, and then we'll move on. Just a couple more.
Some of it's Me and Mrs. Jones by Billy Paul.
Oh, I fucking love that song.
That's a song with atmosphere. I mean, that is just.
That's man. Yeah. Yep. No doubt.
It's a song about them being kind of naughty, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, another one that I had listed, which was a one-hit one, but I think it was a great record. And I know that she had recorded a couple of records after, but they went nowhere. Was Edie Brickell, What I Am?
Mm. Yeah.
Which was a massive hit in the early 90s or late 80s, it may have even been. And she never found any more success until she married Paul Simon.
It was the late 80s, and did you ever see her performance on Saturday Night Live singing that song?
Yeah.
Where she tries to do that little curtsy thing, like she goes and she stumbles. Because in the video, she does this, like, she kind of crouches down with her legs kind of crossed, but she's still...
She has that awkward cross,
She tried to do it, and she then stumbled she got arrested, like, on she got, live TV. Okay.
Got arrested for kicking Paul Simon's ass too, apparently. Yeah,
well, that's right.
That would
have been a domestic squabble. He didn't. If he doesn't press charge, that means he got his ass beaten.
Yeah, a little beta male.
Beating on a minor. She was making fun of him because he wasn't tall enough to go on the roller coaster.
She knows what he likes, if you know what I mean.
All right, Luke, give me some. Give me a one-hit wonder, and then a couple throw-ins. Right.
One-hit wonder.
They
didn't have another hit, did they?
Superman never made any money.
Is that a hit?
Solomon Grundy.
That was not a hit.
Okay. All right. It was. I like that song though. Tarzan, like Superman never made any money. Tarzan, there was a real man. It's a great song. And that dude's voice is fucking, how deep is his voice?
You know why Scott, like they that deep? He has a reason for it. Yeah.
What's that?
Asthma
inhalers. Good one. See, Lou, that's the fucking notebook.
I've asthma.
They originally played that Superman song on WCN. I thought it was a joke. I was like, this can't be a real song.
I like it. Listen to the. It's a good story. Like they tell good stories. Good Canadian band.
It's kind of sad.
Canadian.
There's kind of a melancholy aspect to that song.
Yeah, well, it seems like all their songs, because the song, which... Why the fuck Campbell Soup never capitalized on that one? Think about it. Their whole slogan is good. the song was laid out in front of them for a fucking great commercial. No. All right, Luke, throw in a couple more.
They'd have to change their logo to good. You know, it's okay. I got one. Walter Egan, Magnet and Steel, one hit wonder.
You are a magnet, wow. And I am steel.
That's my first makeout song.
Oh, shit.
Is it big time?
Is this a new thing on the show? Is this a new thing on the show where Scott sings every song?
I sing every episode. I sing a little bit.
Wait, he wants to be a musician.
I'm frustrated. Are you talented, motherfuckers? Guitars, drums, fucking whatever. And I'm just a talented podcaster. So what do I got to have something?
Talent's talent.
I got to be something in this band. Am I the Roger Daltrey to the Who? When Pete Townsend said he's just our lead singer, he's nothing special.
You're gonna kick the shit out of us too.
He said he's nothing special. He's just our lead singer.
Damn.
All right, one more, Lou.
All right, one more. Let's see. Okay, the Champs, Tequila.
I can't sing that. All I have to say is Tequila.
Tequila. Now apparently Becker and Fagan from Steely Dan played in that band for a while. Not when they did that song, but they were in that band in the early 60s. Having to play that. Yeah.
Let's see.
Immortalized by Pee Wee Herman, right?
Yeah. Immortalized by the great Pee Wee Herman. All right, Mark, give us one.
I'm trying to use the phone.
Why everybody laughed but me. I didn't find that amusing at all. I like, how's this? I liked Lou's Michael McDonald better than your Pee Wee Herman.
Ooh.
Just saying, Lou, I'm giving you credit.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, Mark, come on, move this along. I got trivia to throw you guys.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go with some Yacht Rock, Mellow, Orleans, Dance With Me.
Okay. Good song, but that's okay.
I really like that.
Yes. Yeah, that's, wait a minute. Does that count?
We have a judgment on that.
Dance with
me. Yeah, what about Still the One? Yeah.
Did they do that?
Oh!
I'm like 0-5 on this fucking segment.
I think I have another top four. Love Takes Time.
Takes Time.
All right, come on, Mark. Hi, guys. Yourself.
All right. I get a second pick. Here. All right. Wishing Well, Terrence Trent D'Arby.
That's a great song. I love that song.
I still play that CD, too.
Yeah.
Never heard from him again.
No, ran his mouth too much. He did.
Yeah, he did.
Did you like his mouth?
And he say he was greater than
No, David not like Bowie. Carly Simon's mouth.
Oh, okay.
She can run her mouth.
When he was promoting his second album, he compared it. He said it was better than Sergeant Pepper's.
Sergeant Pepper's, that was
downfall.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people that did, but I actually got to see him once, and he was great. And that was the tour on that first album. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
I saw him on TV. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Big head.
Yeah. He used to box. He used to box before he was a singer.
Really?
He was a boxer. Yeah. Evidently never went anywhere. So, all right, Mark, throw another one out.
Going to do this because the bass player of this band now plays with Steven Wilson. And if I mention him one more time, Tom's going to hunt me down and kill me. Kaja Gugu, Too Shy with Nick Beggs on bass.
Yeah.
Nick Beggs is a fantastic bass player.
The big blonde hair, the big blonde mullet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kaja Gugu.
Catchy song.
I got to say something. Nobody mentioned Ram Jam. I'm shocked.
I did on Music Relish.
Yeah.
I was drunk at the time.
This isn't
fucking Music Relish, okay?
It's not, right. Moonlighting.
Hey, didn't the bass player from Kaja Gugu leave and go and be the lead singer for Till Tuesday? Isn't that the same person?
He's very feminine on stage with Steve Wilson.
That's not Amy, man. Come on, man. All right, let's see. I'm going to throw out a couple. From 1978, Nick Gilder, Hot Child in the City, right?
Mm.
He actually went on to write The Warrior for Scandal. So,
yeah.
So he made a little money off that song.
Yep.
Uh, Anita Ward from 79. I have to sing it. You can ring my bell. Ring my bell. Ding, ding. See, I didn't break. My tone didn't break. Look at that.
That's a good falsetto, man.
You can't hit those notes, Jack Calabrese. You can't hit those notes.
Well, you're Frankie Valli.
I didn't act to me like you did.
A vasectomy doesn't affect that. You got to go a little lower.
That's castration that does that.
Yeah, thank you. Liquid castration.
Ah. Monkey nuts.
How about from 1987, Gregory Abbott. Come on, you want to talk about a makeup song, Jack? Jack, ready? Girl, I've been watching you from so far away across the room. Yeah, shake you down.
Doesn't he have the iconic phrase in that? He goes, oh, wow, wow. I think I've heard that copied and used on others. I think that's that part. My ex-wife used to do that all the time. She just out of nowhere go, wow, wow.
How about from 1994, Eni Kamosi? Here comes the hot stepper, murderer. I'm the lyrical dancer, murderer. Come on, you know that song.
Remember that one.
Still love me like that.
What country was that? What country was that a one-hit wonder in?
Oh, hold on. Now I'm going to have to see. Now I'm going to have to fucking find it. See, let me see. Come on. Here we go. Here comes the hot stepper. Let's see. Here we go. After the fucking commercial plays. I hate YouTube commercials. Hold on. Here it comes. 3, 2, 1. Get rid of it. Here we go. All right. Ready? Here we go. Come on.
Never heard it.
I don't remember that.
Really?
Yeah. I checked out of music in the 90s.
Because you guys don't listen up for you, then.
So they sampled "Land of a Thousand Dances" for the main riff on that.
Oh, good call! Look at Lou.
Right, right. He does na 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 na.
Jack.
Wilson Pickett.
All right, I'm gonna throw one more. Let's go from 2001, "Crazy Town," "Butterfly." Come a baby, come a baby, you're my butterfly, sugar baby.
Oh, okay.
Come, my lady, come, my lady. Make you go to, I'll make you go crazy.
That was cool.
That's a good song.
Wait, hey, Scott, where's Jump Around by House of Pain?
I said that before. That's the greatest one hit wonder ever. That is the absolute greatest one hit wonder ever. I like that better than Come On, Eileen.
And then Everlast became a one hit wonder as well.
Yeah.
He disappeared because he said, now he's the guy that said he was greater than or had more talent than David Bowie.
But, who Everlast?
No, the guy on Dexy. What's his name?
Oh,
Dexy.
Kevin. What's his name?
Roland?
Yeah, Kevin Roland.
Kevin Roland. You're right.
Yeah. He has the distinction of having one of the most embarrassing solo album covers of all time. It kind of comes up on a funny list or two.
All right. It's going to go Jack, Lou, and Mark. Okay. I'm going to ask Jack a question first. If he doesn't get it, I'm going to go to Lou and then Mark. And then we'll just jump out. If it gets it, then I'm going to pick who gets the steal. Who can get the steal? I'll alternate between the
people. And you said this is instruments?
Instruments, yes.
Don't worry. I'm going to lose.
All right, Jack. So, question one. It's trivia time. That's what I was looking for. Trivia. All right, Jack. This large wind instrument is used for cultural music by the indigenous people of Australia.
That is a didgeridoo.
Look at the brain on Jack. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, good.
All right, Lou, this instrument was patented in 1856 and featured a double reed. It was used to replace oboes and bassoons in outdoor band music. What instrument was it?
Clarinet.
The sarsaphone. I should have given someone an answer for that, the shot at that, but yeah, it's that long, like, it looks like a, I think it looks like a what's giant saxophone.
A sarsaphone?
Sarsaphone.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
It sounds like something that should have been on Jurassic Park. Oh my God, it's a sarsaphone.
They've escaped.
All right, Mark, here we go. Yes.
Okay.
This instrument has a very long tube with a curved bell towards the end. It's heavily associated with the Swiss Alps. What is it?
Fuck me.
Bricola.
You know what? Here we go with Red Light Fever. I know it. I can envision it. I don't know the name.
Jack, for the steal?
Not a clue.
Lou, for the steal? Well, you were close.
I know it looks like
it's an alp horn.
Oh,
an alp horn.
Tour. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Jack.
Yes, Scott.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Usually situated in front of a wind ensemble, this musical instrument shares parts with a flute, but ultimately sounds more like a reed. What is it? Usually situated in front of a wind ensemble, this musical instrument shares parts with a flute, but ultimately sounds more like a reed.
Hmm. I'll take a guess and just say a piccolo.
Nope. Lou?
Clarinet.
Nope. Mark?
Bassoon.
Nope. The oboe.
The oboe.
All right, Lou, moving along.
Can we get this some guitar questions?
Huh?
Can we get some guitar questions?
No. This musical instrument, Lou.
What? I was just, you know, commenting that I'm so glad that I came back on the show when and realized what I've been missing.
You know, I usually ask better questions, but since you were coming on, I thought I'd dumb it down.
Oh,
dumb it down! You're asking symphony questions.
Hey, well, you're the musician. Hey, so you're winning 1-0, Jack. So here we go. You might end up winning 1-0.
That's right.
1-0. All right, Lou. This musical instrument evolved from a sack butt, an early brass instrument.
The instrument evolved from that.
Yeah.
Sack butt.
Yeah.
How do you spell sack butt?
S-A-C-K-B-U-T.
And so what kind of instrument is it? It's a brass instrument? Did it become a brass instrument?
S-E-C-K-M-E.
Yes.
I know how to spell sack butt. S-B-O-T-T.
Oh, I need a lifeline here. I mean, it's a sack butt.
But it's a brass. It's a brass instrument.
Saxophone. It's got to be a saxophone. Come on.
Nope. Oh, Jack. Jack.
I'm thinking. Okay. Trombone.
Wow.
Jack got the steal. All right, Mark Smith.
Yeah.
Typically used for jazz music, this instrument will rarely find its way onto the symphonic stage.
Double bass?
Nope. Lou?
Saxophone.
We got one. All right.
And I'm zero as usual.
Mark and Lou, are you guys jazz guys? Do you guys like jazz?
I am.
Somewhat. It depends. time.
Right, big time okay. Jazz. Big time jazz, I am.
Mark right, thinks Jack. The Grateful Dead is a jazz band. Really? But, you know, yeah, I don't know.
Weird. I got some new
music
in the mail today. I got Grant
Green. Is that Thelonious? Oh.
And Joe Pass.
Ah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That looks good.
Kenny Burrell.
Kenny Burrell's great.
All smooth. All guitar stuff today. Yeah, it was great.
I'm good sorry, purchase.
I fucking hate jazz, so I don't really care. I don't listen to that. Hate jazz. It's not.
Kenny Burrell's a great guitar player.
Yeah.
I hate jazz. There's not enough sack butt.
That's right. That's right. You need that trombone. All right, Jack, this musical instrument gained popularity when it was mentioned in the Canterbury Tales, but has been depicted in art as early as 1000 BC. Its unique appearance makes it easy to distinguish, especially because it's air reservoir, melody pipe, and drone.
Ooh. French horn.
Nope, Lou.
Bagpipe.
Hey, Lou Tansky. Hey.
And I knew that one. That. I knew it.
Who got that one?
I think the air reservoir gives that away.
That's what it was.
Yeah, the air reservoir.
Yeah, I spaced. It's well past my bedtime.
Yeah, we're trying to move through this, okay? All right, I think it's Lou. Associated with bluegrass, folk, and country music, this instrument is typically fitted with 4 or 5 strings, but there are other models that use as many as 6.
One of two. Might be one of two. Wait. Banjo.
Who takes the lead? All right, Mark, you got to get off the snide here, buddy.
I got to get rid of the schmitties.
You got to get rid of the schmitties. This instrument has heavy associations with the band's rhythm section. It's also heavily used in certain cultures to strengthen their men in war or provide a beat for dance. What is it?
Conga? Okay.
Say, finish it. Conga.
Conga drum.
There you go. I'll give you that one.
Scott, you're good.
It's a drum. It's drums.
Drum. All right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Don't give me that question.
No. Yeah. That was a fucking softball.
I need the softballs.
He has to be specific. What kind of fucking drum?
Just like when you tried to lead me to answer that question a few weeks ago, and I still didn't get it.
All right, let's see. Jack, if there are 52 white keys on a piano, how many black keys does it have?
Oh. 36.
Nice. Jack, pluck that one out. Good job.
I didn't know I was going to have to do math.
All right, Lou, with 4 strings, a peg box, fingerboard, chin rest, and a bridge, this string instrument will often take center stage in an orchestra.
Violin.
There you go. Nice. All right. Mark, this musical instrument is played by pressing it against the side of your face, blowing into the main hole. What is it?
You like Lou. I tell you. I don't know. Harmonica.
Does a harmonica have...
Bagpipe.
Pressing it into the side of your face? What is the harmonica?
I don't know.
Jack.
What do you mean pressing into the side of your...
That's what it says. That's the description. This musical instrument is played by pressing it against the side of your face and blowing into the main hole.
That's what she said.
Probably Simon said.
I'm going to say a flute.
Tie ball game.
See all those Jethro Tull videos last night. It's paid off.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So this goes to Lou. No, this goes to Jack, right? Yeah. Jack is the oldest, and then we're coming to the end. We only got a couple questions left, so these are critical. As the oldest musical instrument in existence, this instrument also requires far more bodily coordination than others, especially if you're playing a modern setup. As the oldest musical instrument in existence, this instrument also requires far more bodily coordination than others, especially if you're playing on a modern setup.
I would have to say it's drums.
Yeah. Right.
I was going to go with a rock, but that's probably where it started.
Let's see. I think I have one more question. Let's see. Where is it? Where is it? All right, Lou.
Some of these questions, by the way, Scott. Some of these, especially the ones that are going to Lou, like that, I'll ask the question to Lou. Lou, what cellist Yo-Yo Ma play?
Saxophone.
And I wouldn't all get right. that.
You know what? I'm not even going to finish this. Because you know what? You know what? You know what time it is? This Day in Music!
Bye-bye. Good night, everybody.
Jack won the trivia.
Have a good night, Jack. Jack signing off.
Guys, by the way, speaking of old instruments, this is my grandfather's 1960 Silvertone.
Nice. Silvertone.
Nice.
Yeah. Can I see the headstock?
Yeah.
Fucking musicians.
That is so cool.
I see a fucking guitar.
You know what's really cool? I don't know if you can see it. Look at the wear on the neck.
See it's that? Hard yeah. to tell. Yeah. Okay. Wow. I can't get it.
All the finishes worn off it. It's awesome.
Wow.
I have a Silvertone amp.
Wow.
Those are actually worth more money than the guitar.
Yeah.
I have one too. You don't? I have it.
Lou's trying to fucking finagle marks. He has the guitar and the amp, right?
That's right. I have the amp,
not the guitar.
You have the amp, yeah. I wanted the guitar that had the guitar case with the amplifier in it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
I was starting to bid on once years ago. I bought mine up in Bar Harbor, and once the bidding got out of control, I'm like, "Fuck it, I'm not gonna spend that."
I don't need it that bad.
Good luck.
I have trouble playing guitar because I like to press it up against my face and blow.
I can't get to the main hole from there.
The main hole. Yeah. Hey, Perry's back. I just got home from work. Jack, cool guitar. Perry.
Perry.
I'm starting to think Perry is a bot. Like, I've never seen
him. Oh, yeah, he definitely is.
He's a bot.
Mark and I built him.
He's a Twitter bot.
Bot, you say I am?
He's a YouTube. He's just, he's actually a computer that just shoots out comments. Okay. Thank you. On this day in 1955, the Chrysler Corporation launched high-fidelity record players in their 1956 lineup of cars. The unit measured about 4 inches high and less than a foot wide and was mounted under the instrument panel. The 7-inch discs spun at 16 2/3 RPM and required almost three times the number of grooves per inch as an LP. The players were discontinued in 1961. Good luck finding one of those.
Wow, 4 inches high. That means you could measure it.
Yeah. It's just
twice.
I think that was No, you missed. All right, on this day in 1957, during an Australian tour, Little Richard publicly renounced rock and roll and embraced God, telling a story of dreaming of his own damnation after praying to God when one of the engines on a plane he was on caught fire. The singer threw four diamond rings valued at $8,000 into Sydney's Hunter River, and soon after launched a gospel career. 5 years later, he's back to rock and roll. That didn't last long. No money in that back then. On this day in 1965, the Beatles began recording their sixth UK album. Jack? Lou? Anybody?
What's you, 65?
Rubber Soul,
yep. Recording takes of new songs, Run For Your Life and Norwegian Wood. This Bird Has Flown. Right?
Bravo, Lou.
Run For Your Life's pretty vicious, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's a bad song, man.
It's pretty rough, man. I think he regretted writing that.
That's like the O.J. Simpson. It really is.
I mean, think about it. That's true. A rough tune, man. I'd rather see you dead.
That's a bad song.
On this day in 1966, 20 years after its creation, I don't understand that, the Rolling Stones' Rock and Roll Circus was finally released. The 1968 event put together by the Stones comprised two concerts on a circus stage and included performances by The Who, Taj Mahal, Marianne Faithfull, and Jethro Tull. John Lennon and Yoko Ono performed as part of a supergroup called
The Dirty Mac.
There you go. Along with Eric Clapton, Mitch Mitchell, and Keith Richards. It was originally planned to be aired on BBC TV. On this day in 1968.
Do you know why they shelved it?
Why?
I know what you're going to say.
Magical Mystery Tour.
No, they shelved it because it took them forever to get all the logistics, and they hung around and whatnot. And the Stones, Mick in particular, were not happy with their performance. So they shelved it.
Who, all right. Who did Tony Iommi play with on that? He's playing guitar when he wasn't Black. I think
it must have been Tull.
I think it was Tull. I think he's on guitar. It wasn't Martin Barre.
Tony Iommi.
Barre? Is that what it is? Barre?
I think it's Martin Barre. Okay.
Martin Barre.
Martin Barre, good guitar.
No, it's Barre. It's Martin Barre.
There's an accent over the
I can't talk.
Roseanne Martin Barre.
Okay. Like that guy Martin is.
Scott, would you like your show back?
Yeah. No, just keep talking about fucking bars. Who cares?
Oh, wait, let's turn it back.
I wore a beret in the Air Force, okay? What the fuck? Okay. On this day in 1968.
Martin Barre.
On this day in 1968, Big Brother and the Holding Company went to number one on the U.S. album chart with Cheap Thrills. The cover drawn by underground artist, cartoonist Robert Crumb replaced the band's original idea, a picture of the group naked in bed together. Crumb had originally intended his art to be the LP's back cover, but Joplin demanded that Columbia Records use it as the front cover. Initially, the album title was to have been Sex, Dope, and Cheap Thrills. But this didn't go down too well with Columbia Records. Of course not. On this day in 1969, a DJ on Detroit's WKNR radio station received a phone call telling him that if you play the Beatles... Oh, good Lord.
One week it's a cat, then next week it's a dog. It's
yeah, great. My cat jumped on last week. Yeah, Morris.
Bring your pets to work day.
Yeah. On this day... DJ at the Treats WKNR radio station received a phone call telling them that if you play the Beatles' Strawberry Fields Forever backwards, you hear John Lennon say the words, I buried Paul, which you don't have to play it backwards to hear it. This started a worldwide rumor that Paul McCartney was dead. And that went fucking
viral. Do you know what he really says in that
before
song?
Viral was a word. He says, I buried Paul. Song? What?
Do you know what he really says?
I said
cranberry
what?
Sauce. He says cranberry sauce.
Okay.
That's great.
Soon to be featured on the Luther.
Yes, coming up in November, the Luther. That's right.
Cranberry sauce.
I love cranberry sauce with the cranberries in it. I like it with the cranberries in it.
I like them both. Is that disgusting?
Yeah, no.
Not mixed together. But, you know.
Like you know what's good? You take one of those fucking frozen chicken patties, the breaded ones, put it in a microwave, heat it up, put it on a sandwich, put some mayo and cranberry sauce, you got a fucking great sandwich.
There you go, perfect.
That's right. On this day in 1971, Gene Vincent died from a perforated ulcer at age 36. He had the 1956 U.S. number 7 and U.K. number 16 single, Be-bop-a-lula, She's My Baby. It appeared in the film The Girl Can't Help It with Jane Mansfield. In 1960, while on tour in the UK, Vincent and songwriter Sharon Sheely were seriously injured in the car crash that killed Eddie Cochran. On this day in 1974, Blondie appeared at CBGB's in New York City under the name Blondie for the first time. The name is derived from comments made by truck drivers who catcalled Hey Blondie to Harry. as opposed to the original rumor that it was named after Hitler's dog, Blondie. That never was the case. That never was the case. But there was a rumor out there that that
never
was
never heard case. That before.
Yeah.
Hitler had a dog.
Yeah. It was named after Hitler's dog, Blondie.
It was a German Shepherd, right? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, well, yeah. Of course. Yeah. White with blue eyes. Anyways, the base this day in 1974, the Bay City Rollers went to number one in the UK album chart with their album, Rollin'. The album included three British chart hits, Remember, Shang-A-Lang, and Summer Love Sensation. And the debut of S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y. They never had a British hit after that, yet they had the number one smash hit in America. It was never.
I had the album.
Oh, who didn't? The Bay City Rollers were phenomenal, right?
I had that album. I got it for Christmas.
On this day in 1975, Rod Stewart and Faces made their final live appearance when they played at NASA Coliseum, Long Island. NASA. The group produced four studio albums, First Step in 1970, Long Player in 71, A Nod is as Good as a Wink to a Blind Horse in 71, and Ooh La La in 73. Ooh La La is a good album.
Yeah.
That's a good album.
There's a band I wish I had seen live.
Yeah, there's a lot. We discussed that. There's a lot of bands we wished we had a chance to see.
Right.
We just missed them, though, right?
We're just a little too young, I think, maybe.
Yeah, that Jack and I had that discussion.
Not by much.
It was at Boston. Go on, Jack.
This is going back a while, but the Faces actually toured in Europe, and instead of Stewart singing lead, they actually had Mick Hucknall, the lead singer from Simply Red, sang lead vocals on it.
You couldn't do that.
The tour received rave reviews. I mean, look, like him or not, that guy can sing.
Yeah, right, sing right.
That seems like a weird choice.
I'm a purist. I couldn't do that. I couldn't see that. But on this day in 1978, whilst living at the Chelsea Hotel in New York City, right, you know where this is going. Sex Pistol Sid Vicious called the police to say that someone had stabbed his girlfriend Nancy Spungen. He was arrested and charged with murder and placed in the detox unit of a New York prison. Vicious died of a heroin overdose before the case went to trial. On this day in 1979, Fleetwood Mac released their 12th album,
Tusk.
Rumors.
Tusk. There you go.
Tuskman.
An experimental set of songs that cost the band over $1 million to record. The double album peaked at number four in the U.S. and achieved sales in excess of 2 million copies, spawning two top 10 singles.
Sarah.
Love that album.
Sarah, yep. And Tusk. Yep.
Tusk. Yeah. That's not a great record.
That single went to top 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Oh. Don't tell me that you love me. I wasn't a big fan at first. I kind of had to grow on me a little bit. What do you got?
I'm playing a puzzle.
Oh, okay. Good for you. Good for you, Jack. On this day in 1985, it was a sad day. Ricky Wilson of the B-52s, brother of singer Cindy Wilson, died of complications from AIDS. The B-52s had the 1990 UK UK number two and US number three single Love Shack. I hate that song. But that dude could play the fucking guitar, man.
Yeah, he could.
Now you go back and listen to the early B-52 cool shit. He had some original shit going on there. He had a style.
He definitely had a style. I was looking at some chart positions for the B-52s, right? So Love Shack hit number three.
Yeah.
Rome hit number three. Meet the Flintstones was number 32.
Because that was for the
Rock
movie.
Lobster was, from... was number 56.
Yeah.
Meet the Flintstones outperformed Rock Lobster.
Rock Lobster was early.
That was earlier. That was when they just broke and people didn't really get them yet.
That was as oddball as Lena Lovitch and everything else at that point. I mean, was that what year did that come out?
That came out like 81.
No, before then. 80.
Before that, 70s?
I was going to say like 79, 80, I think.
I'd say
let's put it this way. It has to be earlier because John Lennon actually gave the B-52s kind of credit for reigniting their career. He actually said the B-52s, he went to Yoko Ono. He basically said, look, the music has caught up to you.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Those weird the vocalizing she did and what they did too. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I was surprised.
79.
79. Well, it was probably the album came out 79. It might have been released around late 79 into 1980. But again, the best song on that album is "Dance This Mess Around." It's not even rock. Rock Lobster is not even the third best song on that album. 52 Girls. I mean, yeah.
That all record's right, great.
Moving on.
Not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's right. Wow. On this day in 1994, you guys might remember this. Pink Floyd played the first night of a 15-night run at Earl's Court, London, England. Less than a minute after the band had started playing Shine On You Crazy Diamond, a scaffolding stand holding 1,200 fans collapsed, throwing hundreds of people 20 feet to the ground. It took over an hour to free everyone from the twisted wreckage. 96 people were injured, 36 needing hospital treatment. Six were detained overnight with back and neck and rib injuries. And Pink Floyd, being the fucking men that they are, sent a free T-shirt and a note of apology to all the fans who had been seated in the stand that collapsed. Wow. The show was immediately canceled, of course. Wow. Send them a T-shirt.
Their first reunion tour. They did their first reunion tour in 80 something, right? That momentary lapse of reason.
87.
Yeah. I went to Nassau Coliseum. That was the show they recorded for the VHS that they released that year. Did I get an apology? I had back then cameras were on big boom stands. I missed half the show. The boom stand was right in front of me.
They owe you a fucking t-shirt.
An apology. I want
to fucking owe you a t-shirt
and a note. Marcus,
an apology note.
You probably owned it at the time, Mark, but that's where you walk right up to guest services and say, "Hey, you got to move me."
Yeah.
I just saw this comment from Perry. I like this. You mentioned that, Jack, when I was getting deaf here. Hey, Perry, I missed this comment. I like this morning news program format.
Am I Hoda? Yeah. I'm Hoda.
Yeah, Hoda. Okay. All right, it was a sad day on this day in 1997. John Denver was killed when his handmade, that's his first mistake, experimental plane, that's his second mistake, he was flying, ran out of gas. Third mistake, not checking your fucking gas tank.
Look, crashed I can make off a the coast plane of
Monterey
right
Bay, California. On this day in 1999, the island of their birth, the Isle of Man, issued 6 stamps honoring the Bee Gees. Their mother had run a local post office on the island. On this day in 2008, Oasis went to number one in the UK chart with Dig Out Your Soul, the band's 7th and final album. Born on this day. We're almost there, Jack. We're almost there,
soon
buddy.
To be getting back together, Oasis.
Never, never, never. Yep.
They're going to get back
together. Yes, they will.
No, they're not. No, they're not. No,
money talks.
Nope. They're not going to do it. Not going to do it. Liam's doing really good on his own, by the way.
Save your pennies, really, man, good. Because you agreed that you were buying the tickets in the airplane.
I don't have to save shit. I got money. I got money, motherfucker. I got money. I got the peas, as they say in England. I got the peas. All right. Born on this day in 1955, American singer-songwriter Pat D'Anizio. Jack?
Smithereens.
There you go. I know Lou knew that. Mark Jersey probably Boys. Knew it too. Yeah.
I love that band.
Found a member of the Smithereens. D'Anizio also released a number of solo albums. In 2000, D'Anizio made an unsuccessful run for the New Jersey seat of the United States Senate, running on the Reform Party ticket. He finished 4th. He died, unfortunately, on December 12th, 2017. I remember that. I remember hearing that.
Yeah. He was like 62. He was young.
Yeah. Born on this day in 1942, Melvin Franklin from what group, Mark? Melvin Franklin from what group? Anyways, Lou.
What the Melvins. Group?
Melvin Franklin. No, not the Melvins, but good guess. Very original guess.
Good one. Thing Jack, I got the name.
Jack, Melvin Franklin?
Melvin Franklin.
One of the most talented groups ever.
Parliament.
Nope.
Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes.
Nope. Zebra. Melvin's in there. See, another Mark couldn't even come up with a fucking clever answer.
The Melvins.
What's that? Come on.
But Lou said that. If you were paying attention and weren't fucking playing your guitar, you would have heard Lou say that.
How about Melvin Bishop? Melvin Bishop.
Mark, you still haven't come up with anything.
He played drums for Blue Oyster Cult. That's it.
Anyways. The group is The Temptations, man. Okay. Yeah.
That ain't, he's the guy that says,
"And that ain't right."
That's right. It's good, Jack. That's good. That's better than lose Michael McDonald. See, Lou, you were down, you were up, now you're down again.
Okay.
Born on this day in 1935, the great, the immortal, the icon, Luciano Pavarotti, who's saw that. Every year I hear it, his version of Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
That fucking, oh my God, that shit gives me, fucking brings tears to my eyes. A grown man. A fucking alpha male, toxic masculinity. It makes me cry. It does.
I can't imagine.
So I met him one time. Great.
I met him one time. I said, "Can you loan me a tenner?"
And finally,
he said that.
Born on this day on 1935, Sam Moore. Anybody?
Sam and Dave.
There you go. And we're going to end it with Jack. Jack is the trivia champ tonight. Lou came in second.
And as usual.
And Mark didn't answer one fucking question.
You know what? I'm like the Jets, I'm like the Nets, and I'm like the Mets.
There you go. And you know what, guys? Now that Jack's on, last week's episode, 2.5 hours, we cut an hour off just for Jack.
Thank Christ. still 45 minutes too long.
Too long, huh?
Jackie boy, you know I love you like a brother. Thank you for coming on. As usual, you can. It's always it's part of your show, so you come on anytime you want. But I appreciate your time. Honestly, I do. I do. I rag you, and I fire you, and I hire you. It's like Steinbrenner and Billy Martin. It's like I'm George Steinbrenner. Yeah. You're Billy Martin. I'll fire Lou Piniella. You again.
Yogi Berra, Billy Martin, Billy Martin.
Exactly. I used to say Lou that. Piniella,
Billy Martin.
I'm going to throw some names out, Jack. Andrew Biggio and my brother worked together. My brother worked for Andrew, and for years they had that relationship, the Billy Martin Steinbrenner, yeah, relationship. But Jack, well, what's that?
It was a pleasure to be here with you, Scott, and Lou and Mark. This is something that I've looked forward to for a while. I hope to get to do it again real
next
soon.
Next week.
imagine if the four of us could actually do this like live in the same room. That'd be fun.
It would be a round table. That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Bananas for everybody.
Yes, bananas for everybody. That's
and you
right.
You see me knocking over my wine.
Ooh. Yeah, we didn't get a ting tonight. Give us the ting.
Yeah.
There you go. Ooh. All right.
With the pinky extended.
With the pinky.
Name that tune. Name that tune.
Let him in. Paul McCartney.
There you go.
Nice. Hey, look at that. He got a fucking answer.
He gets a point.
Yeah. He's going out on top, baby.
That was a hell of a good remark. I mean, come on.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Lou, thank you very much as usual. Mark, thank you very much as usual. You guys are fucking great. It's always fun. Jack had an added, he brought all his fucking attitude tonight, buddy. And that's, I wouldn't have him any other way. What's he doing? He's staring at the screen like a.
He just left.
He thinks this is. I'm sorry, but he's looking like a Todd for a minute there.
He's like this.
He's staring at the camera like he has his hands on each side of his screen and he's just staring at it.
Look like he's taking a giant selfie or something and he disappeared.
It's gone. And he's gone. All right, gentlemen. Well, I'm sure I'll see you next week. This seems to be a regular now, regular thing. Sure.
All right.
So,
great time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And everybody, thank you for listening. As I always say, you are the engine that runs this machine. Without this, it would just be me talking to these guys about music, and that's fun too. And doing this show for you, to quote my favorite artist, Morrissey, the pleasure, the privilege is mine. Do you know what song that's off of? Guys,
nope.
I'll let you look it up.
Okay.
Look it up.
I will.
Look it up. That's right.
I'll just cheat and ask my son-in-law.
Yeah, there you go. And everybody, we will see you next week. Thanks for listening.